competitive.
Put on your helmet, fasten your chin strap, and get ready for the snap. The Eric Ainge Show with Brian Rice is ready to go. Sports Animals VFL QB is ready to give you the insight and analysis that no one else in Tennessee radio can. Get in Eric's headset by calling 656-9900. 656-9900. The Eric Ainge Show with Brian Rice is headed your way right now.
You're listening to the Eric Ainge Show. Appreciate you doing that up on the Sports Monster in the Tri-Cities right here on the Sports Animal locally. And again, 991thesportsanimal.com or download the free Sports Animal app. Appreciate however you get us. Podcast, any way possible. Appreciate it.
Always do. Coming up here on the Eric Ainge Show, a big day in Tennessee news. Yesterday, Tennessee Vanderbilt will not be played this Saturday because Arkansas has COVID issues to try to make sure that every SEC team gets in their 10 games. They shuffled the schedule. And with Tennessee Vanderbilt being a game that's being played without fans, it was expendable to move, so it will move back a couple of weeks. Tennessee's off this week. Vanderbilt's the real winner in this because they don't have to go to Columbia, Missouri in mid-December. They get to go this weekend. Get to is kind of a relative term there. And then Tennessee men's basketball. We'll have more on them coming up here in just a few minutes because they have suspended team operations right now as they have COVID issues in the program among players, coaches, including head coach Rick Barnes. So a lot of news came out of yesterday. The Lady Vols opener on Friday has been called off as Florida A&M will not play. Tennessee's still scheduled to open up on Saturday, though there is the possibility still that they will try to find an opponent to play a second game sometime this weekend. Could be Friday, could be Sunday, could be Monday. It's this situation, this non-conference schedule, and perhaps even the conference schedule for both the men and women is going to be a very fluid situation for the next couple of months until we find some way to get this deal under control.
I mean, that has to be, like, 2020 is the epitome of this cliche coaching statement of just control what you can control and worry about us.
Yeah.
Do your job. Like all the different coaching, you know, mantras that there are have never been more true. They're always true or people wouldn't say them, but they're true this year. I mean, gosh, you wake up yesterday and you think you're playing Vanderbilt. Before you go to bed yesterday, you find out you're not playing Vanderbilt or anybody. Next game is Florida in a day.
Missouri thinks they're playing Arkansas. They're now playing Vanderbilt. Vanderbilt thought they were hosting Tennessee. Now they're going on the road to Missouri.
Yeah, even worse for those two schools because they actually have to play. You know, at least Tennessee, you know, Arkansas's, you know, you don't wish COVID on anybody. No one ever would. And if they did, they're a terrible human. But, I, golly, man. I mean, is it not so true? Do what we need to do what we do and get better at us.
Yep.
Because on any given Saturday or basketball, any three times a week, we don't know who we're going to play.
I think this year has, and it, again, don't hear me that I'm making excuses for Jeremy Pruitt or for anybody else, but I think this year has made it harder for you to base what you're going to do in a game on the opponent. I think a lot of this, because of when you're installing it, you have to focus on what you do and doing what you do and not worrying as much about a specific game plan for an opponent. And I think that's been a bigger adjustment for some schools than it has been for others.
You know, the hope if you're Missouri and Vandy are that the teams you're going to play similar styles of football. How much of the plan do we have to really change? To your point, you think you know who you're going to play. And up to this point, for the most part, it's been just delayed, you know, postponed games or canceled games. Vandy and Mizzou getting thrown the wrench on a Monday that they need to play on Saturday. And, oh, yeah, you're playing each other.
Yeah.
Is that that's one that I mean, I haven't seen that yet. Has that happened yet?
Not in the SEC. It has happened in other conferences.
Okay, because I haven't seen it in this conference, which I pay the most attention to. That is That is hard.
Unless I'm missing one, I don't believe that's happened yet.
I mean, almost everything that I can remember is postponed or canceled. Mm-hmm. So the wrench of, because you, when you go to practice on Monday, you're already working. Yeah, you have your corrections periods and you have some of that kind of stuff, but you're already working on the next team that you're getting ready to play. Tuesday and Wednesday are your biggest grind days. So at least those, like, I doubt a coach or a graduate assistant on either one of those teams got to go home last night.
Well, I'd say you're probably right.
I mean, that's a sleep on the couch, boys. Yeah, right? Seriously. You got to fight for your right to Vandy. Wait. Wait.
Well played.
I don't know. I feel like I was – there's no way. If you told – okay, all the games that are on college football, Vandy and Missouri are going to play. Is that moving the needle?
No, not one bit.
Not at all. But I actually am kind of curious. The football nerd in me, like, I kind of want to watch that game now because I'm just curious how these two staffs and these two teams are going to rally and change and get ready on such a short period, because – you still have Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday to practice, but you better be practicing the right stuff.
Yeah.
You know, you better have some answers. It's the first 5 minutes of that game in the whole third quarter will be really interesting to me.
And if you're just joining us, the why on they did that is the SEC is trying to find a way for everybody to play their full 10 games. And with the cancellation this week for Arkansas, the only path forward to doing that was to shuffle the schedule of other schools, including Tennessee, and to have Vanderbilt and Missouri go ahead and play their scheduled makeup game this weekend. So that's why it happened, and I'm sure it is very inconvenient. We'll hear from Jeremy Pruitt tomorrow. I will be interested to hear what he will say. I would be more interested to hear what he said behind the scenes when
somebody
told him.
Yeah, I want to know what he actually thinks, not what he's going to say on the podium.
Yeah, can you imagine being? I mean, look, when I worked there, there were a couple of times that I was the one that had to go tell the head coach some news that I knew he was not going to like. And Butch did a pretty good job of not being mad at you for what you were saying, but still, I wouldn't have wanted to be the guy who goes and tells Jeremy Pruitt that, oh, yeah, by the way, you're not playing at all this weekend because Vanderbilt needs to play Missouri.
Yeah. Thought you got Vandy? Wrong.
You got nobody.
Vandy, part of him Missouri. Was probably like, ah, that sucks. And then part of him was probably like, good, because Florida's playing this weekend, aren't they, or do they get postponed?
Florida, I believe, is playing this weekend. Yeah.
I have to look at them.
Let's see. I'm waiting for it to load. Florida's playing Kentucky. That's right. They're playing Kentucky.
Yeah, okay. So that's what I thought. So
Pain for that game for Kentucky. Coming,
yeah,
off
right.
Coming off that loss to Alabama.
But, hey, it's one more opportunity for Florida to get guys nicked up and bruised up and maybe not as healthy when you play them.
Okay.
I mean, that's your hope. It's also a game where they're probably going to – Kyle Trask, you know what? It's worth the conversation. My touchdown record might be in jeopardy.
It might be. I wouldn't have thought that before with the way Kentucky's been playing, but after that game against Alabama, Alabama may have broken them. You always have that
60.
Letdown.
60.
60 points. Yeah.
But you know what? Just like we were joking how Saban put 60 on Kentucky because he's making sure that they're one of those four teams playing, Florida's going to do the same thing.
Yeah.
If Florida can score 60, they'll want to score 61.
They beat Kentucky, not just scored 60, they beat them by 60. That's incredible. I hope we're not ever talking about something like that. Let's go to the phones, 656-9900. Bill is up next. Bill, welcome in to the EA show.
Hey, guys. Look at your crystal ball. Do you see, other than the playoff teams, do you see any bowl games playing this year?
Yes, because
Brian.
Of money. Yeah, I think there are enough TV contracts and sponsorship deals that, yeah, they'll do whatever they can to make them play. Is that the right thing? I won't argue that it is, but I do think that not every game is going to be played, and there's already some that have been canceled, but I think any that physically can play will play so they can collect that money.
All about the greenbacks, right?
It is. It always is in college sports and pro sports. But, they're in programming, to be perfectly honest. With ESPN, ESPN's whole December is based around having two or three bowl games a day. And the schedule's
all our social activities based around that, too.
Yeah, that's true.
All right. Thank you, guys.
Absolutely, Bill. We appreciate it. And the bowl eligibility for this year, you don't have to have a winning record to go to one. I'm going to be interested to see, Eric, who goes to bowl games with what records. You know, what are the standards actually going to be?
Whoever has fans that will show up.
If you're even allowed to have fans.
Well, then that screws Tennessee, because that's what always gets us the bowl bids.
Yeah.
Our people are willing. They're willing to go.
The Liberty Bowl will welcome Tennessee if it is at all possible for Tennessee to go there. I assure you that they've been trying for half a decade to get Tennessee in the game, and they always get usurped by somebody else. Well, this might be the year. Take a 3-7 bowl team, but it's one more game, one more opportunity to put on the orange one more time for Tennessee, right?
That's right.
Something like that. All right, welcome back. 656-9900 if you want to join us. More on Tennessee hoops being shelved for right now coming up on the other side. And Ryan Callahan from GoVols 24/7 joins us coming up at 10:30 as well as the Eric Haynes Show continues next.
Brian, I'm East Tennessee on a particular chat side, and I've jumped in and defended you when you've made a couple of guest appearances when fans are still railing on Butch Jones, for crying out loud. Appreciate you guys. Hey, I think Pruitt's just in a tough situation right now. I mean, you know, I know fans are screaming and yelling for Harrison Bailey. Oh, he's, you know, the old practice player myth that people are terrible in practice, but in games the light comes on and suddenly they're great. I don't buy that. I mean, I do think there's a difference in practice and games. I remember that myself. But I don't think Garantano is near as bad as fans make him out to be. He's certainly not Joe Burrow, and he's certainly not the QB we need to get to the next level. But I will say this, is if there ever is a time to give Bailey a chance, it looks like he's probably been integrated into the practice quite a bit in the last few weeks. And I think it showed a little bit Saturday. And now that we've got 2 weeks to get ready for guess who, Vanderbilt, what would be a better time to try to maybe by design work him in on the third series by design? Wouldn't that be, you know?
Your next matchup is Florida coming up. You'll play them a week before you play Vanderbilt. But, I think that if you're going to do it, I think you have been given a tailor-made opportunity this week to do that and to get him ready to go and let him be the guy. But, Eric, I also said that was the case last week. I thought you had a tailor-made opportunity to give him 2 weeks to be the guy.
Yeah, and again, I understand why people are frustrated with Jarrett. I am frustrated with Jarrett. I also understand why Pruitt keeps putting him out there, because 95% of the plays he's doing are really, really good. And if you don't if you think that your freshman's got one or two of those in him anyway, then you don't have then you have a more steady hand in Jarrett. I guess what I would say at this point in time, through 2 full years with Chaney and playing, is it seems like there's been opportunities to win games that you haven't been able to win. Now, he's also won you games that you didn't have an opportunity to win because he put somebody else out there. So it's just such a hard situation. I think that you got to get – if I were him, if I were the head coach, Harrison Bailey would be the starting quarterback this week. He probably I alluded to it a lot, but, I mean, I thought he was going to be the starting quarterback last week. Part of that's because of what I think Harrison Bailey has shown and what I think he could be. And I think he's earned an opportunity to go out and see that. And the other is, I know what I've got in Jarrett, and I've brought him off the bench in relief before. See, I would flip-flop it if I were Pruitt. I think it's easier to go with the young guy and see what he's got, man. Maybe he's the next great player. Guess what? There's freshmen that win games they have no business winning. And gosh, I mean, I did it. Like you don't know. You know what you got in the other guys. You don't know what you got in this. Well, if he shows it in practice even a little bit, give him a chance to go out there in real time, not at the end of a game where you can't win both times. Put him out there when it matters and see what the kid's got. Yeah. And if it's bad ready and you're going, see, I knew I shouldn't have done that, you can say, two, get it loose. Come on, you're in. You can always do that. That's okay.
Mm-hmm. I think you said it well earlier in the show that, you know, 4 or 6 weeks ago, he wasn't ready for this opportunity. But he probably is now. He's probably earned it. He looks like he's earned it. It looks like he must have had more practice development based on the way he played Saturday. So I think you're spot on here. And I think Garantano is enough of a team player. It's not going to crush his ego to come in off the bench.
If his ego was going to be crushed or emotionally going to be devoured, it would have been a long time ago, the way people say things about him on the internet.
Oh, yeah, I've noticed that. Well, I think you're spot on. I don't think Pruitt was going to put him out there before he had earned it, because the players know who should be out there, don't they? I mean, they're not going to respect somebody that gets put out there just to play for next year. But to me, that's another fan.
Yeah, see, I think you're right there. And, I mean, I take it back to the year that Butch Jones' final year. I think there were a lot of players on that team that felt like Jared Garantano won the job and Quentin Dormady ended up being your starter. And then when that didn't go well, or it didn't go as well as you thought, it caused some guys to lose confidence, and that season goes awry in a hurry. You know, I don't think this is the situation. I don't think players feel like Harrison Bailey stepped up and won the job. I think a lot of them are still behind Jared Garantano, but you can't help but feel like some of their confidence in him is shaken when he plays so well for so long. But then you're at this point with Jared Garantano, even when he's playing well, you're waiting for the other shoe to drop, because it has so often in such spectacular fashion, Eric, and that's what makes this as frustrating as anything, isn't it?
Yeah, and I think it's impossible to just look at one season, because if you're Pruitt and you only looked at this year, you'd be positive that as the game went on, Jarrett was going to do something to cost you the game. But you've got 3 years of him being the National Player of the Week and beating an Auburn team, not by himself, but man, Jarrett won that football game, you know, and then beating the best Kentucky team that's ever been. And winning that game. Like, there are examples of him not – the other shoe not dropping.
Yeah.
That's why this is so hard for Pruitt, because he's going, which third and fourth quarter JG am I going to get?
If he throws a touchdown pass instead of a pick six, then you've broken the narrative of you aren't any good in the second half. You've broken a lot of narratives, but he did.
I mean, gosh, if it's just an incompletion like it was in the first half –
yeah.
Then who knows what happens in the football game. Now, Smaglia, I know he's been good over time and all that, but, like, it's not a guarantee he's making anything right now.
No, dealing with the injury he's dealing with is
– yeah, it's not a guarantee. So it's hard to say anything else, but at least – I mean, it's the 7 points you gave him. Mm-hmm. You know, it's that's the hard part with Jared. It's the fumble against Bama. It's the picks against Kentucky, it's, you know, the picks against Florida, the picks, I mean, it's, you've said it best. He is going to be quarterback Arian Foster when he leaves here forever.
Guy that was better than you think. You're going to be surprised by what his stats were, because you only remember the catastrophic plays, because every time he made a mistake, it was a catastrophic one. We'll come back. Ryan Callahan, Go Vols 24/7, joins us coming up on the other side. So you talk a little Cruton on the Hurricane Show next.
Hey, late.
Welcome back into the Eric Gaines Show. It's 10:30 on a Tuesday, Brian, so it's time to welcome in Ryan Callahan from GoBalls247.
Ryan, great news for Tennessee to start the day on Saturday. Junior college running back is back in the fold. The rest of the day didn't go so well, but it was a good start to the day, at least, for the Vols. Good morning. More on Tennessee's latest running back commitment.
Yeah, Tyon Evans back in Tennessee's class, and you're right. You know, that was big news that probably got overlooked by maybe a lot of people on game day, a game day that obviously, as you said, didn't go perfectly for Tennessee otherwise. But this is a big deal. Make no mistake. This is Tennessee has a couple other running backs in its class right now, but Tyon Evans is obviously like a junior college player. You would expect an immediate impact guy, and I think probably the most. I would say on film, at least, the most dynamic guy that Tennessee has at running back, and I think that's why Tennessee viewed him as a real priority to get him back. He had just decommitted from Tennessee in September, and it was sort of a surprise just out of the blue at the time. His reasoning seemed a little bit questionable, so no one really knew if another school had gotten to him, but no one really had, and it seemed like Tennessee was sort of the team to beat even from the time he decommitted. So some other teams entered the race. Missouri gave him an offer. A few other teams did. It kind of came down to Tennessee, Oklahoma State, and Missouri in the end. And he also gave consideration to going back to his junior college, Hutchinson Community College out in Kansas. Thought about going back there for the spring semester so that he could play this season, which has been pushed back to the spring, and decide and try to do that to get more offers and see what other options might pop up. But decided to stick with enrolling in January and going to Tennessee and just never found any place that made more sense to him than Tennessee. So I think a really nice pickup there and definitely gives Tennessee a boost on offense going into next season, really improving the running back situation.
Talking with Ryan Callahan from GoVols247. Right, who all do we have in the fold right now for this class?
Well, there are 27 commitments now, and a lot of needs already been addressed. A lot they still want to get accomplished, which is the tricky part with already having that many commitments and already, having somewhat of a numbers crunch to deal with. So that we know there's going to be some turnover if Tennessee continues to add to this class, and it looks like they certainly plan to or would like to. So, they've pretty much, pick a position. They've addressed it in some form or fashion. They've got, three potential tight ends, four wide receivers.
Oh, tight ends. Running backs. Oh,
yeah. So, I mean, there's a lot they've already gotten done. I would say with 27 commitments, though, they still need another edge rusher. They still need a couple more defensive linemen. They ideally would like to add another offensive lineman. So they're not done by any means, but they've pretty much gotten each position addressed in some form or fashion. They've got their big time quarterback, obviously, in Caden Salter from Texas. So they've gotten a lot of things done. It's just outside the top 10 currently in the 24/7 Sports composite team ranking. So it's a solid class, but definitely not a finished product yet. And there's potentially a lot that can happen over the next month or so before they wrap up this class, at least the initial wave of it in the early signing period.
Ryan, you're talking to these guys on a fairly regular basis in Tennessee's class and guys that are still committing or considering Tennessee. How have the struggles on the field played out for some of those guys?
It's interesting, and this can vary from one year to the next. Sometimes you just don't know. But it seems like most of the guys that you talk with so far, they're really not shaken by anything that's happened to this point. Now, as the losses continue to pile up, as I've said, for weeks now, that could become more of an issue. It's one thing to say that you're not going to be bothered by it. It's another thing to sort of watch it play out week by week. So each loss could make things more difficult for Tennessee, for sure. It definitely could come into play with some guys who are still being recruited by other schools. You've got Terrence Lewis, who still could be very much looking at Miami, and there's some, I think, mutual interest there, at least. For a guy from Miami, that's something worth keeping an eye on. Demarius McGee, the four-star cornerback from Pensacola, Florida, he's had LSU and some others still showing interest. So there's some guys worth keeping an eye on like that. And maybe if Tennessee continues to lose games, that could become more of an issue. But so far, most of the guys in Tennessee's class, and even some of the targets, say, you know, I don't mind joining a building program, basically. And I know a program's going to take its lumps early on. So even though it is year three, I think they still view it as a program that has yet to arrive, and so they aren't maybe as concerned as a lot of fans might think. So we'll see if that changes. But so far, that's the response we get from most guys, and I think they're at least, you know, while some of them might be frustrated or might want them to win more games, I think they're still seeing this as an unfinished product. And most recruits, I've always kind of said this, they tend to view themselves as the solution. You know, they tend to think, you know, our class is going to be the one that can fix this. So I think, you know, some of these players, especially Caden Salter, the quarterback, you know, I think he views Tennessee's offensive struggles as something he can address. So, you know, why be that worried about what's happening right now when he can come in and be part of the solution on offense?
Ryan, we're starting to see class of 2022 guys start to make decisions, but I've seen in a couple of your posts at GoVols 24/7 here in recent days, guys are that maybe were getting closer to a decision date are now starting to rethink their timeline. Is that based on the changes and the potential to not get on campus until April at the earliest?
Yeah, I think so. You're seeing that with some guys that they are starting to be a little bit, you know, affected by the changes in the recruiting calendar, and that's something that we've kind of anticipated. I think, you know, this dead period, now that it's assured of going through at least April 15th, it's gonna be more than a year before players can go back out on the road, you know, from the time this dead period started to the end of that dead period. And that's a long time to go without any true recruiting visits. You know, some guys have sort of taken matters into their own hands and paid their way to attend games this season or just driven to campuses during the off season just to look at schools, you know, maybe talk to coaches on the phone while they're there. But that's not the same as a true recruiting visit. So I think there's the sense from a lot of guys that are, you know, were maybe thinking they would be ready to make a decision by this spring or this winter that hey, I need to wait. I need to take more visits. I need to wait for the opportunity to take some official visits. And I think we'll see probably more of that for the 2022 class that didn't expect to be as affected by this dead period. But now that it's extending into April, you know, how can you not be impacted by that?
Well, and I can attest to that personally. I mean, I knew the schools around me. And in the conference that I grew up in, I knew what they kind of were and what they had to offer. I never would have come to Tennessee if I didn't come here and visit. I wouldn't have been able to pull the trigger like that. I mean, there's no way. So when you start talking about recruiting guys, even from Florida to Knoxville, that's a long – I mean, that, you know, that's, you know, West Tennessee to East Tennessee. If you're a kid in West Tennessee who's never left West Tennessee, which a lot of kids that are getting recruited, that's true. I just thought that'd be hard to pull the trigger on that. There's no way I would have come if I wouldn't have come on a trip.
Well, and to your point, I think that's one of the things that's probably tricky for Tennessee right now is you don't even have, in some cases, a great feel for who you really can get in the 2022 class, especially because you sometimes don't really get an understanding of that until you get a player on campus. You know, I think right now a lot of the guys that haven't been on visits before, you know, they're probably leaning more towards schools that, to your point, are closer to home, that they're more familiar with, they've been to before, something like that. Yeah. So it's tough for Tennessee to even know where it stands with some of these guys that are from other states. And in some cases, what Brian's talking about, we've had some updates on in-state players that have been to Tennessee before that are talking about maybe waiting a little bit longer than they expected at first to make their decisions just because they want to see other places. Jordan James, a running back from Murfreesboro, who's a top 200 player nationally, high on Tennessee. I think they've been, you know, if not the favorite at times, certainly one of the teams to beat for a while now. He's looking at Tennessee and Alabama and Georgia, but he's only been to Tennessee and Alabama. He wants to see Georgia, wants to see Florida State, the other teams in his top four. So until you can take more visits, it's hard to even know if you want to stay home and kind of how to compare that more familiar school to what else is out there.
Ryan, what do you guys have coming up on the site this week? You were expecting to have some Vanderbilt information. You were expecting to have a basketball season starting recap or two from Grant Ramey. What is coming up on the site that we can actually commit to at this point?
That's right. Yeah, we've had to make some adjustments on the fly, but that's okay. We've got still plenty of recruiting coverage that we'll have up throughout the week. You know, again, early signing day is less than a month away, so there's plenty to discuss on that front. We'll have you covered there. We'll continue to look at Tennessee and sort of where they stand with three games remaining, what they need to get accomplished the rest of the way, and have some podcasts as well breaking down Tennessee's current situation there and the hoops front as well. So still plenty to discuss, and it's a great week to check out the site because it's free VIP day today on GoVols 24/7 and throughout the 24/7 Sports Network. All of VIP stories open to everybody. So go check out the site now if you're not a member and see what you've maybe been missing out on. And then while you're there, you can sign up for 75% off the price of an annual subscription. So great time to get some early Christmas shopping done for that Vols fan in your life or anyone else throughout the 24/7 Sports Network if you're a fan of another team. So check that out, GoVols247.com.
Ryan, we always appreciate it each week and look forward to catching up with you again next week. Next week we'll talk a little bit about the impact of coaching changes with that early signing period because the season is now going to still be going on when the early signing period happens. Want to get your thoughts on that when we chat again next Tuesday.
That's right. That sounds good, guys. Happy Thanksgiving.
You too, man.
Happy Thanksgiving. And that is Ryan Callahan, GoVols 24/7, and Eric, his appearance brought to you by Henley Roofing.
Have a happy roof on your commercial project. Happy roof. HenleyRoofing.net.
The Eric Haines Show continues next. We have multiple guys from recent teams playing in the NBA.
Exactly. I'm fired up. Like, I was excited last year and the year before, but, like, my excitement level for Tennessee basketball is significantly higher. It continues to grow. Isn't that your goal? I mean, obviously you want to win games, but your goal, if you're Rick Barnes, is to develop players and help change their lives and win as many games as possible. And from the external side of it, have as much positive hype and excitement around your program as possible.
Yeah, and have it be there every year.
Yeah, and it is. You get guys leave, they go to the NBA, they graduate. You know, you got three guys drafted and one exiting of the program, and it just continues to grow and continues to grow. And I think we're all gonna. I hope we get to see as much possible Tennessee men's basketball this year as we possibly can because I think it's going to be a good brand and a really fun team to watch.
Yeah, and now we have to wait for them to start the season. The game against Gonzaga scheduled for next week is not off at this point. They will reevaluate whether they'll be able to play that game. There's also a game against Notre Dame that's out there that Notre Dame's announced, but Tennessee is not. So I think, you know, you just at this point want them to be able to get this thing started because it's so exciting, and you want it to try to be as normal as possible this season. Because, again, it's going to be so exciting for this program.
The thing about this team, or basketball period, you have so many more games than football. We often carry our football attitude and excitement level into basketball season. And I'm not, like, I'm on here as a former football player, alumni, letterman. I am equal, if not more excited about men's basketball starting as I am the rest of the football season. I'm not jumping ship on the football program. Never have, never will. But I'm simultaneously super, super excited to watch this basketball team play. I can't wait to see how good Folky could be.
Yeah.
Just watching these guys, what's Pons going to look like? All the new guys who I need to study their numbers so I know exactly who's who. But they're all going to have their elbow through the rim. I'm fired up about it.
Yeah. So now we wait. We wait to see, you know, multiple positive tests. Other than Rick Barnes, it's not revealed if those are staff members, if they're players, if they're manager, because managers and trainers are also there in that level one, tier one group that you're talking about here. But so we also don't know what the impacts beyond the standard, you know, a couple days of being ill will be either. So there's a lot of uncertainty there. Hopefully we'll get some certainty on that coming up in the coming days, and hopefully they'll be able to get back on the court to open the season next week because I saw the meme yesterday. People said, you know, Tennessee fans, we're excited about basketball season, COVID, and then it's the Michael Jordan meme. And I took that personally. It's like, you got to come up and smack us around a little bit when we have something positive coming.
Hey, so. I mean, it's true for everybody. I have confidence that Rick Barnes and his basketball program will have handled COVID as good or better than anybody, and it'll only end up being a it'll end up making us better than the competition because of how we've handled it for the last, what, 7 months?
Yeah. And I'll say
six
this.
6 months.
You know, there was a lot of yesterday, well, are we even going to get to have college basketball season because we're 2 days away from it starting and we're having all these cancellations. There is a better opportunity to play a college basketball season over the next 8 to 10 weeks than there is any other sport at any other time. And I say that because on virtually every campus in the country, every other student is packing up today to go home, and they will not come back until the middle of January. You may not have a bubble in any of those places, but the closest you will come to having a bubble in college sports is what's going to happen over the next 6, 8, 10 weeks, depending on the school, when regular students are gone and your guys and your women's team are really the only people on campus. You're going to have an opportunity to get this done. So
especially at big places like Tennessee, where you have an entire training center for basketball.
Yeah. You're going to have an opportunity over the next few, if you can withstand this wave and make sure it doesn't spread throughout your whole program and keep you back for a couple of weeks, you're going to have an opportunity to get this done and get past this and be fine. You have to do it, but hopefully this will not be, you know, people that said, well, let's just go ahead and cancel basketball season around the country after the bad news across the country yesterday, I think are ignoring the fact that you're almost in a bubble situation over the next month and a half, 2 months in most every case.
Yeah, I have a decent amount of confidence that basketball, it's going to be different. It's going to change. Games are going to get moved and canceled. We're already seeing that. That's going to happen. But you have so many more games to play than you do in football. It's not the end of the world if one here, one there gets moved or canceled.
I think what's going to be interesting is at the end of the year when we're determining who's making the NCAA tournament, the wide differences in number of games played between some schools and others based on how their non-conference schedule was handled.
If your games are getting postponed or canceled, win the ones you can play.
Yeah.
No, don't be a bubble team. I agree with you. There's always bubble teams that get upset and think that they got the shaft and getting in or not, but don't be a bubble team. 2020, the mantra for every basketball team needs to be, don't be a bubble team.
Yeah.
Just
go out
just
and show
don't
it.
Be, yeah, show it. Show it every chance you get. Go play like it's the last game you're ever going to get to play. Win as many as you can, and you won't be a bubble team.
Yeah. And I think that's going to have to be it because there are going to be teams that because of this wave right now are not going to play non-conference games. There are going to be teams that are only going to play conference games, whether that's a decision that they make or a decision that their conference makes or their school makes. So it's going to be even more important, as we said, prove it. Go out there and do it. You're going to have to. We'll come back. Final hour of the Eric Ainge is coming up next. 656-9900 if you want to join us. It starts with a little Florida, Alabama, or Georgia coming up on the other side. Let's have some fun on the Eric Ainge Show.